I'm Mailing a Bat with William Moseley, starring in Saving Paradise. Hey, William, where are you?
I'm in London. I'm at my friend's flat in London.
You look like you're in paradise a little bit.
Maybe you can see a little bit of London in the background. He's got a very cool flat. It's up in like a high rise, so you can get a nice view of the city here.
It is nice. So are you anywhere near the London Eye?
I'm quite near Big Ben, actually. You can see Big Ben from his flat, so that's kind of cool. Yeah, it's a great place. I'm very fortunate that he lent it to me for the last couple of days.
Oh, cool. So what are you up to in London these days?
Well, actually, the director I just worked with, Shireen Nashat, she premiered her film, which I was in with Matt Dillon and Sheila Band, at the Venice Film Festival over the weekend. And so she was awarded last night the sort of Master Photographer's Award for her work as a photographer. And it sounds funny, but I knew she was a successful artist, but I hadn't really sort of gauged in my mind until I showed up at this sort of gala with all these, you know, famous art people. And I was like, oh my God, you're really quite a star, you know? So she'd invited me along and I came up for that last night. And then I had a few things to do today. Yeah, it's been great.
So how far are you from actually where you grew up?
I grew up in the Cotswolds, in a town called Stroud, which is very small. It's an eco town. It's full of a lot of eco warriors and hippies, musicians and artists. And so I was very fortunate that I had a supportive system around me when I was growing up. When I said I wanted to be an actor, you know, nobody was like, well, you're crazy. You know, everyone was like, oh, great. Yeah. So that was nice.
So is that like the countryside?
That's about an hour and a half out of London in the West Country. It's very pretty, you know, lots of green hills, lots of small pubs and old houses. So yeah, I love it though.
Every time I hear an English accent, I get a little homesick because I'm a quarter English and I've got relatives in Hertfordshire.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So you're a quarter. So one of your grandparents? Your grandparents are?
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. Okay, cool.
On the nose. Cool.
On the nose. I got it. Very cool.
Very cool. So what do you think of my backdrop? Do you recognize it?
I do. That looks like the pencil factory. That's very cool. Thank you so much for putting that up. I was really honored to be a part of what we now call Saving Paradise, but it was originally Pencil Town. And it was a script that I felt I wanted to make because to me, it embodied the American dream in both the positive and the negative. You know, as a young guy who's kind of taught to, you know, I don't want to use the word, he's almost like a vampiric character in the beginning, but he's definitely someone that, you know, is told to forget his morals and to basically profit first and capitalism rules supreme. And of course, you know, he learns that's not right. But I wanted to make the film because I love the idea of the American dream myself, you know, starting out with nothing and building a company and, you know, helping people along the way and, you know, making your mark in the world and hard work gets you there. You know, I like that, that concept.
So when was the last time that you used a pencil?
The last time I used a pencil, it was, oh, I feel like it was kind of recently because I was going through and annotating a script. So I'm not very tech savvy. So to me, like using an iPad for my script just never really works. And so I always just print it out and I go old school and I highlight and I write little notes. So probably quite recently, actually.
I love that you're old school, you know, not too many people your age are that way. So yeah.
I don't think it's a good thing. I think I'm like way behind the times. It's okay.
I'm very old school too. I don't even like emojis or memes or anything like that.
I'm trying to get myself up to date. You know, I've got good family members around me to push me a bit.
And I'm watching this movie and all of a sudden you're sitting in the diner and it says Moseley Diner.
I know. That was just by chance that they wrote that. And then they, and it had already been in the script, so they didn't change it, which is very cool. I was very grateful that they did that. Actually on a TV show before on the Royals, they put Mr. and Mrs. Mosley in it. And the director, right, he just did that for a laugh. He just did that for fun. But my mom's a bit of a hippie, so when she saw that the parents, Mr. and Mrs. Mosley, were quite sort of, you know, quite buttoned up people, quite conservative people, she's like, I'm nothing like that. I was like, Mom, it's just a TV show, chill.
So you must have like wanted to take pictures with everybody in the diner to sort of, you know, commemorate that this was your name.
I did. That was very nice, actually, of the director. And how should I say, Jay Silverman really has an incredible heart. He's an incredible man. And we connected from the very beginning. You know, he did a lot of things like that. And he invited me into his home and he had me meet his family. And he did lots of, and you know, my brother was there and he took my brother in as well. And like, there was a lot of, just a lot of kindness from him and a lot of positive energy, which was great. I mean, you'd think it'd be like that in every film, but I'm telling you, it's really not. Sometimes it's...
I believe you, William.
Yeah.
It's not all that glamorous movie making.
It's not. You know, that's the funny thing. I think you have to love it. You know, I think sometimes people get into it for the wrong reason. They're suddenly like, this isn't very glamorous. I thought this was going to be glamorous and I was going to get this and this and this. I'm like, to be honest, you got to do it because you love it. You know, you got to love it. It's a lot of highs and lows. And, you know, you got to love the industry.
Absolutely. So your dad was a cinematographer. So I'm imagining that you actually grew up on sets. Is that so?
Well, my dad, as he would call himself, is sort of a gun for hire. You know, he's sort of, they would offer him a job, you know, the camera, he'd go out and he'd shoot it and he'd be running around. He'd have it on his shoulder and sometimes he'd do the news. Sometimes he'd do a big commercial as a DP. Sometimes he would make a little documentary, like an art movie for somebody, like in our areas, sort of very artistic areas. So he'd make art things for people. So really, I didn't go on set with him that much because it wasn't really a you know, for like a child, you know, environment. But I listened to him a lot about films. For instance, I was just in Venice at the film festival. And I remember that my dad had told me about Don't Look Now, you know, this classic Nicholas Rogue movie. And when I was walking through and I was looking at the light and I was, you know, feeling it out, I was like, oh yeah, I remember you talking about this and this and this. And that's always cool, you know, like when you've had a parent that's kind of like showing you movies and showing you things and they kind of pop up in different places. So that's been good.
And talk about serendipity. It turns out that your character in Narnia was named Peter. So
that is very serendipitous. I know, it's very strange. My middle name is Peter. My father's name is Peter. So that was very strange. Sometimes I look for those signs, actually. I know, I don't think, you know, yeah. And I think actually sometimes it's the universe showing you that you're on the right path. You know, I knew, for instance, with Land of Dreams that it sounds really mental, but I knew, I had a feeling Land of Dreams was going to work out because I knew that the lead actress had the same birthday as me. And I had this weird feeling because everyone was saying, there's no way you're going to get to America in a pandemic, shoot this movie, get through the border control, get a visa, get all of it done, go work with these people. And I was like, I just think it's going to happen. I think they're going to cast me. I think we're going to make it happen. And I believe it. I just had this feeling because of her and her birthday. I was like, I just know it. And it did work out, and it did, and it was really a successful time and a great time. So I always look for those little serendipitous things.
So now are you celebrating your birthdays together from now on?
Well, we should, but you know, I think it would just be, I would probably just give her a cake and she'd probably forget that it was my birthday. No, I'm joking. No, I think we should, but we're always in different countries, we're always in different places, so yeah, it's fine.
So I think I see a little hippy dippy thing in you there, William.
You know, yeah, inside me is a hippie. Like inside me really is a hippie. I grew up going to like music festivals and my dad had an old VW camper van we used to drive around. I fell out of once because there was no seatbelts and the doors flew open. You know, I had a kind of a mad childhood, you know, like we had a lot of kind of mad adventures. A lot of my friends as well were the same. And you know, I want to install that into my kids as well, that you can kind of do anything you want. You know, you can be whoever you want to be. Like there are no limits to your life. Nobody should ever tell you you can't be an artist. Nobody should ever tell you you can't live the dream, you know. And, you know, living the dream isn't always straightforward, but I want to install that in people around me as well. I want to encourage them like I've been encouraged.
So I want to hear more about falling out of the van, because that happened to me too once. So scary. My mother didn't even know that I was gone. She like,
what? What?
Yes.
Wait, you were in a VW van as well? Was it a camper van?
No, it wasn't a van. It was a Volkswagen, like one of those big sort of, like a Volkswagen, you know, like.
Yeah, a bus, a Volkswagen bus.
Exactly. And I fell out.
That's happened to me. It was a Volkswagen bus, exactly. Because the doors are like that, aren't they? They just sort of like, they can pop open.
And here's the thing, my brother knew that I fell out and he said nothing.
What? He just left the other way. No, keep driving, Mom. Keep driving. Don't look at the rear view mirror.
Exactly. Like, it's okay.
Were you okay? Were you injured?
Oh, yeah. It was just so scary because I was so little. But
how old were you?
Like, I was eight. Like 5.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was traumatic. Traumatic. Right. Tell me what happened to you.
Well, it's a very similar thing. I remember we were coming back from the seaside, and it was a Halloween thing or a party, and we go around a corner about 40 miles an hour, the doors flew open and a bunch of things went out and I went with them. So it was just one of those moments. I wasn't injured, I was okay. But yeah, no, like you said, it was traumatic, but it's sort of, well, at that point, having sort of a hippie upbringing, it was not really that surprising to me. It was just, I think, so bad. Yeah.
Well, at least your mother stopped and she knew that you were missing, right?
It was my dad driving, actually. I think my mum gave my dad an earful when we got home. but my dad didn't forget me. Were you still in the road? You were left in the road and nobody knew? So for how long were you in the road for?
It seemed like a really long time. But first of all, it was pouring rain. I couldn't see anything. The headlights were coming towards me.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That is horrific. You're lucky you survived, actually.
My brother's not so happy I survived, I think.
He's like, right, all the attention for me now that she's gone. Good. Oh my God, that's full on. So did you have hippie parents as well?
I'm sorry?
Were your parents hippies?
Oh yeah, major.
Yeah.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Very cool.
We're like sons of different mothers, I think.
We are kindred spirits. So did you grow up in a very eco way? Like, how was your childhood? I know you should be asking questions, but
conversations I love. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. So very sort of, you know, hippy dippy, a lot of different types of friends, and it was the best childhood. Wow. Yeah.
Wow. So like Robert Downey Jr., Nick Cassavetes, I guess they were in New York and sort of had similar kind of parents, I suppose. So there was a kind of a New York thing happening at that point. I suppose, I don't know if that's right, but that sort of seems how it is. Yeah, New York was a bit of a melting pot of like kind of.
You would love New York. Have you ever lived in New York?
I've lived there for a little bit, but you know, I never really knew any kind of like musicians or artists. So I was, I was just sort of like going around. I lived there. One of my two ex-girlfriends, the first one went to NYU and the second one went to Columbia. So I was in and out, you know, but I was kind of surrounded by kind of quite academic people, actually, which I like just as much as, you know, just as much as the hippie side of things. But I would like to meet some New York hippies at some point.
I'll introduce you next time you come.
That would be great. That would be great.
So now we're getting to the part of the show. This is like a new segment and it's so much fun. It's called the IMDb Debunker Opportunity.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you what it says on IMDb and you tell me if it's true or false and then the real story.
Okay.
Okay. You were struck by lightning.
True story. I was struck by lightning in a take. Can you believe that? On action, I was hit by lightning. Literally, this is the scar, actually. I know I can show you the scar on camera, but.
Well, Well, I'm looking more at your muscles, but okay.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I had a mouth abscess. My muscles are very small at the moment. But I did get hit by, it came through the camera and sort of came out of the camera. I was right in the camera and it went through me. And I, do you know what the craziest part of that was? I was actually at a broken ankle at the time. And everybody was running away because the people holding cables got hit by lightning and the DP, she was unconscious. And, so people were just having a complete meltdown. And we were at the bottom of a valley and I'd broken an ankle and I saw the crutches outside and I thought, God, should I take these crutches? Because they are metal. Am I allowed to get it? Or should I just hop up the mountain? So I went for hopping instead of using the crutches. But yeah, it was definitely a good story, which I thought it wouldn't be at the time, so it's fine.
did it hurt like hell?
I felt my heart stop, so definitely did hurt, yeah. And I was very unwell for about a week and a half afterwards. I couldn't get out of bed, and I basically, my whole system was shocked. But it's fine. I'm here. I'm all good.
Wow. Good for that. And then Thanks. The other one, you auditioned for the role of Harry Potter. Yeah.
That is not true.
Oh,
okay. They were doing castings with a lot of people. I mean, they literally went through England up and down with like a fine tooth comb. And I think they put up anybody who might've been the right age. And I went for one audition and I don't think it was for Harry Potter. I think for the Harry Potter movies it was for, but I don't think it was for the part of Harry. I don't think so. I never had to do any scenes. I never had to meet the director. I never had to do anything like that. I was just like one of like probably a million people that they looked at. So yeah, that one isn't true, but yeah, good.
Well, thank
good check.
You. Thanks for debunking that one. So what do you want to do for the next upcoming 10 years in your life, would you say? Do you have like that sort of plan? Or do you think that far ahead?
That's a really nice question to ask because, you know, I came to a bit of a crossroads in myself and I was thinking that, you know, because really I'm quite, being a bit of a hippie, I flow through life, you know, I flow from one thing to the next. And I often don't plan things, you know, but I started to think about making a plan. I started to think about like, what does it mean the next 10 years? I'm 34 now. What will I be when I'm 44 or 54? You know, like it doesn't seem abstract anymore. And I just thought, well, I've done a lot of work and really what I want to do is films and things that I'm proud of, you know, and I'm fully aware that it's better to work than to sit at home. You know, I'll always take a job over just sitting at home. Like, you know, what do you do today? Well, you go to the gym and then you come home and then you maybe send a self-tape for an audition and then you meet up with a friend or something. Like, that's fine, but I'd rather be working. You know, I'd rather be doing what I love. And I love acting and I enjoy it and it's fun. And like, I like getting into character. I like learning lines and I like being on set with everybody and doing it as a team. But if I got to choose what I was going to, how my life was going to be, I would make projects that I'm proud of. I'd make, you know, art films and I would make big studio blockbusters, you know, as well. And as long as they've got meaning to them, as long as there's something fun or entertaining or something that does something for people, something that does something for me, my job in the world is an entertainer, you know, like, that's my job, right? So I do it with openness. I do it to the best of my ability. I was very fortunate recently that I've made a couple of films that I'm really proud of. I'm really proud of Saving Paradise and I'm really proud of Land of Dreams, you know, and I just finished watching Land of Dreams at the premiere and it was a big premiere at Venice and I just thought that was really cool, actually. That was really cool and I'm really proud of that and I'm really proud that I was part of that, you know, like, and same with Jay's film, Saving Paradise, is another film that I'm very proud of. So I'll just keep rolling along with somewhat of a plan and I'll just kind of go with it, you know. I've realized that I'm not this great big muscly guy actor, you know. I'm not going to be like with a shaved head and like big muscles and like, you know, I don't think I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to try to, you know, just make myself happy, you know, more than anything else.
Well, I think you're my new favorite person.
That's really the most truthful answer I can give you.
I adore you. You're the best. Oh, boy. This was so much fun. Thank you so much.
And I just wanted to say, like, I know you interviewed Michael Pitt recently.
He's one
of my favorite actors. What an incredible person. Like, you know, that is such an incredible actor to have on your show. And someone I've looked up to, and I know you've interviewed a lot of amazing, brilliant people. So, you know, congratulations to you. And I'm going to be tuning into your podcast from now on.
Oh, I love you. Thank you. And I'm going to continue watching your movies. And I want you to come visit me in New York. We'll be besties moving forward.
We're going to be besties. We're going to be besties. We'll start a drum circle in New York. That'd be great.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Robin. Thank you. Take care of yourself.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Always new. Always refreshing. Always candid. Always milling about. Robin Milling delivers what celebrities are saying to you.